This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later on today's show, helping the invisible victims of the heroin crisis. First up, it was 96 years ago, the Executive Committee of the League of Women Voters of Cincinnati held its first meeting. That first meeting happened October 1st, 1920. And since then, the League has worked to encourage active and informed citizen participation in our government by providing nonpartisan information about elections, the voting process, and issues. Joining us from the League of Women Voters of the Cincinnati area to discuss the organization's voter education and information efforts are volunteer and board member Melissa Currents, office manager Lisa Williams-Nelson, and volunteer Ernest Mao. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Ernest, Lisa, and Melissa, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Melissa, tell us a little about the history of the League of Women Voters, how the organization got its start in the first place.
Sure. So, as you mentioned, we were formed 1920 in Cincinnati. And so what happened was the women suffrage movement, they knew they were going to start gaining the right to vote. So they wanted to reorganize themselves as a League of Women Voters. And Cincinnati was lucky to have one of the first leagues in the country form. What's really interesting is that a lot of our foremothers came from political families that you might have heard of. The Martha B. Taft was our first president, and she was the wife of Robert Taft. We also had a league leader, Agnes Hilton, who helped start the Charter Committee. And so we really are really connected to Cincinnati history. And so we've been around for 96 years. We're going to talk more about our voter guide, which is going to be coming out shortly, which is what people know the league mostly for. But it's actually our 95th edition of our voter guide here in Hamilton County.
95th.
Yeah, we first published in 1921. And so this is our 95th edition.
How many members does the league have in the Cincinnati area?
Probably about 280 members here in the Cincinnati area.
Mm-hmm. And that's not including the other leagues that are in the tri-state area,
right? It is just the Cincinnati.
Just the Cincinnati
and,
one.
Warren County, Warren and Butler.
Okay. How many chapters do we have in the Cincinnati area?
Three chapters.
We have three in Southwest Ohio, and then the League of Women Voters of Kentucky has a few members in Northern Kentucky and Lexington.
Mm-hmm. Do you collaborate with the other chapters on a regular basis?
Yeah. So we provide most of our voter information for Hamilton County, but our sister league in Oxford, Ohio, does a lot of work for Oxford and Butler County, and then we also collaborate a lot with Claremont County League of Women Voters, too. And so we share a lot of information. We will host debates together.
Best practice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So we are definitely a family.
Yes.
And Ernest, tell me about your involvement. You're a volunteer. What kinds of things are you doing at the league?
So I started about 5 years ago, and I've been able to pitch in. I mean, sometimes it's just going by the office and stuffing envelopes. But I've been lucky enough to be timekeeper on candidate debates. I've actually gotten to moderate. We did a judicial forum last year, which was just kind of amazing, things like this. So the volunteer opportunities are there for men and women.
You must have some strong feelings about this. I mean, how important is the league to the democratic process?
I think it is huge, because we don't endorse a candidate, we don't endorse a party, but yet you can come to the league and you can have an adult civil conversation about issues that are impacting your community, your state, your country, and it is truly a conversation. If you're looking for education, you'll get it. If you're looking for debate, you'll get it. But we need to have these discussions going so that we can have informed voters.
Does the league, you're nonpartisan, but do you ever advocate for particular issues?
We don't endorse political parties or candidates, but we do believe that once we study an issue, we will take action if we believe that issue is important to our communities. And what I like to say is that we do the two things that we hope citizens do, is that we hope that the citizens educate themselves, become informed, and then once you're educated, act.
Mm-hmm. What's the difference between advocating and lobbying?
So for the league, we mostly advocate for issues. Lobbying, I mean, we definitely do more lobbying at the state level. So in the state house, we have a state League of Women Voters in Columbus. And so they do a lot of work working with state legislatures and kind of just letting them know what the issues are. Here in Cincinnati, we advocate mostly for
getting citizens involved, having meetings, discussing the issues, debating whether it is an important issue for us, whether we want to support it or not, making sure that we get all the information, and inviting the concerned parties, political parties, or teachers, whomever may be involved, to come and speak to us about the importance of it one way or the other. And then we decide as a organization whether we want to support it or not.
A hallmark of a league event really is the giving both sides of an issue, and so you'll see that in our voter guides. For we have three major ballot issues coming up in Hamilton County, and when you see our voter guide, we always give the pros and the cons.
Correct.
Because we want to give both sides of the issue, so you can make your own choice.
Well, let's talk about the voter guide, because I think that is the big thing that people know the League of Women Voters for. You said it's been 95 editions of that have come out now, Melissa. How is the guide developed? I mean, what kind of work goes into creating that?
So many hours.
So many hours.
And what's so funny is that I think people don't think about elections until now, till October or September. But we have been working on this since July, June.
Yes, we have.
August. So
it's a matter of getting the information from all of the candidates and getting a database of that information. So we have a series of questions that we ask them, their background, occupation, affiliation, and once we gather all of that information, put it in a database and merging that, and it's what you see. We're happy that you are enjoying it, and it is a labor of love. So yes.
How receptive are the candidates to answering the questions? Because I take it you mail them, or you email them, or you contact them somehow and say, here are the questions we'd like to ask. And how do they usually react to that?
We generally have majority of the candidates do respond. Sometimes they need a little nudging, but for the most part, they do want to participate in the voter guide, because they do realize that is, you know, what Hamilton County and what the League of Women Voters is known for. So,
And I should also mention our website, vote401.org, which has a lot of the same information that's in our printed voter guide. And so with our printed voter guide, we are going to print, and Lisa will need to confirm, 100,000 copies
for
Hamilton County.
100,000.
Yeah, so if you're not in that voter guide, you're definitely missing out. So,
yes, you are.
You know, just as a little tidbit to candidates out there,
this is a serious election
guide. And then also we have a larger exposure because we're also online.
Is it tough getting rid of 100,000 copies of the voter guide?
Absolutely not.
No,
not at all. Not at all. We have libraries, all of the libraries. We have
the Board of
Board
Elections.
This not difficult at all. No, not at all.
And they go fast.
And they go very
schools,
fast.
Schools will have it. Businesses, community organizations.
Yes.
And plus the voter guide, not just having the candidate information, we'll have information for voters on where to vote, how to find out where to vote, and although it's coming up very rapidly, making sure that you're registered to vote.
Correct.
How effective is this as a tool for educating and informing voters?
I think it's invaluable. It has everything that you need, what voter ID you need to bring with you, when the polls are open. You know, we do, as we already mentioned, the candidate profiles. We also do the all of the ballot issues that are going to be in Hamilton County. And we'll do descriptions of what is a mill. And don't ask me really that very well, but we, you know, what is gas aggregation?
It's written down so you don't have to remember.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
It is all that you need. It is the library in itself regarding the candidates in the Hamilton area. It is everything you need to know about the candidates and the issues is within those 24 pages.
Have you ever had gotten any feedback where a candidate's answers to questions really had a positive or a negative impact on their election?
Well, we mostly hear what I hear, and others, you might have a different point of view. I hear mostly positive from candidates because they also were trying to get out their vote and trying to mobilize their base. And so they really see it as a positive tool. Mm-hmm. Mostly what we kind of the feedback I hear more is that when people read the voter guide, and what is kind of very important is that we print the answers as the candidate submits them.
So you print them verbatim.
We don't correct any language. We don't fix anything. If they go over the word count, we cut them off. And so people think that maybe we misspelled something or that we did that, and it's clear that we print them as they are submitted.
So any candidate ever say, why didn't you fix that misspelled word for me?
No, it's up to them to make sure that what they've submitted is what they want to present.
Now, you're doing a live version of the Voter's Guide this evening. Tell us about that.
So we're calling it Voter Guide Live, and it's going to be at the Hamilton County Community Action Agency tonight.
From 6 to
I think we 8? Yeah, 6 to 8.
6 to 8, yes.
We're going to do, at first, we're going to help people register to vote, check their voter registration. As we mentioned, the deadline to register to vote is October 11th, which is next week.
A week
Tuesday.
From today.
Yes. Yeah.
That's true. When you look at October 11th, you think that's a long way off, but then no, it's not.
It's not at all.
7 days away.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's coming fast.
Yeah. And so we are going to help people check their voter registration, help them register to vote if they're not already. We'll have a poll booth, so you could practice your actually fill out your ballot and kind of show you how the equipment works if you're a first time voter. Mm-hmm. So we'll have that. We're going to demonstrate how vote411.org works, which is our voter website. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to do a pro and con of the ballot issues. We're going to talk about issue 44, which is the Cincinnati Public School Levy, issue 52, mm-hmm. and issue 53, which is the Hamilton County Children's Services Levy, and then the Great Parks of Hamilton County Levy.
And if anyone wants to check for themselves, if they are registered, they can go to the Board of Elections at boe.hamilton-co.org, or they can call 513-632-7000 to find out.
We will continue our conversation about the League of Women Voters of the Cincinnati area, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. Joining us from the League of Women Voters of the Cincinnati area to discuss the organization's voter education and information efforts are volunteer and board member Melissa Currents, office manager Lisa Williams-Nelson, and volunteer Ernest Mao. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. So your live voter guide tonight, that's going to be over by 8 o'clock.
Yes. Right? I have a correction. It starts at 5.
5 o'clock. 5, 5
to
o'clock
8.
To 8 o'clock.
Correct.
That's perfect because the vice presidential debates are at 9 o'clock tonight.
Yes.
So you can get everybody home in time to see those. But, you know, we're going through a lot of debates right now. Vice presidential, presidential, I think we've got two more to go at this point. And, of course, we've got all kinds of local debates and candidate debates that will be going on. Just how important are these debates? What are some reasons for watching these?
Yeah, so we know that a lot of people decide their vote by watching these debates, and so we know they're really important. The League of Women Voters has a lot of tools to help people to figure out how to watch a debate well. Kind of the basics are you want to decide what you care about as a voter. Mm-hmm. kind of figure that out in the ahead of time, and then as those issues come up, then you can rank the candidates as they tell us their point of view on the issues that you care about. So we're a bunch of election nerds, and so we even have a worksheet that you can print out and then keep track of the issues that you care about. When we had the first presidential debate, our Cincinnati League here, we live tweeted the debate, and we're providing tools, kind of these unbiased tools for voters to help decide, because, you know, we're not part of that partisan we're not interested in that and perpetuating that. So we want to provide tools to really help voters make a decision.
Mm-hmm. Informed decision about what concerns them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people say, though, these are a lot of times they're form over substance, though. So what would be like your key piece of advice for watching a debate?
So, the League of Women Voters of the United States had provided a kind of an open letter to the debate moderators. And so our advice to the debate moderators was really to focus on the issues and not get caught up in kind of the flash mm-hmm. of
personalities.
Personalities, mm-hmm. Yeah. So kind of the key that we really want to tell voters is decide what's important to you mm-hmm. and watch out for mm-hmm. that.
And one of the things that every time I watch a debate is at the end of it, it's like, well, did they actually answer the question that was asked to your satisfaction? If you had been the person asking that question, would you have been happy getting that answer? Mm-hmm. So and that's more on a personal level than on a political level. But I think it's one of the things that we look at, we all look at, is are we hearing what we need to hear?
513-419-7100. Let's talk with Julie in Clifton Heights. Hi, Julie.
Hi. I'm calling to find out if the League knows concretely how the names that were purged from the voter list are going to be restored in time for people to be able to vote not provisionally. So I know that it was declared unconstitutional, and I want to know if the League knows what the plan is to restore those names.
Yes. So I think what Julie's referring to is there is a court case that came out, I think, last week or a couple weeks mm-hmm. ago about Ohio purged about 2 million voters over the past 10 years from the voter rolls, and those were 400,000 from the past year. And so there was a court case in the 6th District that declared that wasn't the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. But the issue is that these people were removed from the voter rolls. They might not know that they were removed. They might think that they are registered to vote. And so we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we want to make sure that those people get registered to vote before that October 11th deadline. So we're really trying to get out the word that you really should check your voter registration, and you can check it at the Ohio Secretary of State's website. The Hamilton County Board of Elections is votehamiltoncounty.org, and you just really want to make sure that you check, because there's really not, as far as I understand it, they know it's not that was illegal, but they don't have a plan on getting those people back
right. So
in time.
It's up to each citizen to make sure that they check to make sure that they are registered to vote.
That's what we recommend, is that you check.
Who was most likely to have been removed from the list?
So if you hadn't voted in the past couple of elections and they couldn't,
and your address has changed.
Yeah, your address might have changed. And yeah, so.
Well, if this was declared illegal and the judge ordered John Husted to restore them, my understanding was he said, I can't. We don't have any record of who we purged. This is hugely problematic in the state of Ohio.
Yeah, which is why the advice of making sure that you check your registration before that October 11th deadline is so crucial. Julie, did you have another question for us?
Yeah, I wanted to know when the guide will be available.
That's what everybody wants to know.
It will be available
thanks, Julie.
The week of the 11th, after the 11th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So and then it's also going to be inserted into CityBeat the same week. So that's next week. And then it will be also inserted into CityBeat the week of November 2nd. So and then our online version is available now. Mm-hmm. So you can go and get your ballot. What's cool about our online version, vote411.org, is that it will give you your personalized ballot. And you can also decide who you want to vote for and keep it on your cell phone. Mm-hmm. Our voter guide has a checklist that a lot of people, that's the best thing they love mm-hmm. about our printed voter guide. We also have that option online.
You know, and this is kind of an interesting question, revolves around the purge of voters from the rolls. But sometimes people will say, how do I know that the vote in Ohio is legitimate? What protects the integrity of the Ohio vote?
You know, the League of Women Voters was part of that lawsuit that took the state to court about the purging of the mm-hmm. of the voter rolls. And so we really believe that that wasn't the way to do that. So we collaborated with other organizations to kind of bring that to light. Other ways that that the vote is protected in Ohio, you know, really voter fraud is really low, especially, yes. You know, with voter ID. In Ohio, we do have voter ID. And the way that if you're going to have voting fraud, voter ID, what voter ID does not really prevent voter fraud in the terms of maybe something could, you know, we hear about systems getting hacked and all that kind of stuff. But voter ID does not really prevent that. It actually prevents more people from voting. They don't have a valid ID with them. And so we think that that particular law does not really help expand the electorate. And so,
and also between the year 2000 and 2014, they only found 31 cases of voting fraud. So out of all of the elections that we've had and voting that we've had, there's very few that, you know, has that we can count as voting fraud. So it's very low in terms of people not being honest enough to vote their ballot.
Right.
And you also have bipartisan protection on the county election boards,
correct.
Too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You've always got an equal number of Democrats and Republicans. So they're keeping each other in
correct.
Check and balance.
Correct.
And that even goes down to the polling locations.
The voting process has a lot of integrity built into it. And I think the key for us is just to make sure that your individual vote has the integrity by making sure you are registered to vote, that you weren't one of those names purged, and that you know where to go. So, I mean, if you just break it down to an individual level, the system can work.
Mm-hmm. So let's give the dates again. The last day to register is
next Tuesday, the 11th.
Next Tuesday, the 11th. And then in-person absentee voting starts on
October 12th.
October the 12th. And how long does that run till?
So it's 30 days. Mm-hmm. And so it will go you want to submit your absentee ballot the day before Election Day.
Yes.
I believe you want it to be postmarked. And and then Election Day is November 8th, mm-hmm. which is really late as an Election Day.
So I kept thinking it seemed like it was a little bit later than usual.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's like a week later than it normally is.
So we love it. Yeah. We love the season.
More time.
Yeah. More time.
More time to do your work.
Right.
Well, Ernest, Lisa, and Melissa, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. And we do have more information, links to more information, as well as the Ohio, Kentucky, and Indiana voter sites linked at WVXU.org. And our guests this afternoon were volunteer and board member Melissa Currents, office manager Lisa Williams-Nelson, and volunteer Ernest Mao from the League of Women Voters of the Cincinnati area.
Become a member. Come join us.
Thank you so much. Coming up, helping the children of parents who are addicted to heroin. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.